Blog Talk Radio.
You know what time it is, Rob?
Wake up and smell a coffee, Doc. Let's roll.
Here we go. Twelfth Man is officially on the air. What?
Got March Madness for y'all, bitch.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's a franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
In case you forgot or fell off, I'm still hot. Knock it
down. Hey, NFL.
Welcome, cool. Welcome, according to Talkers. Rob, he's winning, man. You're ready, man. You're spitting what's going on. I love you. He's spitting the topics. Of course, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Today is Tuesday, March the 19th. You are joined by Andre Peterson as well as Robert Ford. And as Rob is throwing out different things in the background, NFL, March Madness, NBA. We got a lot of the things to discuss. But without further ado, I was going to check in with my co-host. Got to pass the rock, man. Got to show some love. Got to throw some assists to Mr. Robert Ford. How are you doing this evening, man?
Doing great, man. I can use a back massage, but, you know, I'm ready to do this thing, man. What about you?
Oh, man, I'm doing well, man. Just don't get dunked on, okay? I'm saying, man, just don't stand in the lane, man. You know, we'll make sure that
No. I'm not Brandon Knight and Jason Terry.
That's what it's all about, man. Of course, I want to throw out the numbers for those that want to call in and definitely share your thoughts and posts and all that great stuff. The numbers to call to our live show, it's 424-243-9519. And we got a lot of ways that you can also follow us. You can follow us on Twitter at the number 12THMAN Sports. That's our handle. As well as you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/12thmansports. So we got a lot of things to discuss, a lot of little time. So let's kind of recap, obviously, what's sweeping the nation. Robin, this is my favorite time of the year, man. March Madness is going on right now. We got a couple playing games right now. But this is what it's all about. Everyone's excited, getting those brackets in. And let's talk about March Madness, sir, and kind of get some recap on some first games here. Obviously, I'm just going to make a quick note about the North Carolina State. The Aggies actually defeat the Liberty Flames. They're going to get the right to play the number one seed, Louisville. And pretty good game. I don't know if you want to recap anything. There's a couple games going on right now, sir. And let's get started. Let's jump right into it.
Yeah, congrats to North Carolina A&T Aggies winning tonight to move on. Let's be careful with using that word play-in. The NCAA doesn't like when we say that.
That's right.
Like these are actual NCAA tournament games, not play-in games. it's a little confusing, but yeah, the NCAA hates when you use the word the play-in. But congrats, North Carolina A&T, on winning. You know, I think it's going to be short-lived, of course. I think they're going to be out in the next round, which they call the next round, the second round, and these games are the first round. So it's definitely very confusing, but that's what it is. The NCAA makes these rules, not us. And, you know, right now we have a good game going on between St. Mary's and Middle Tennessee State. Middle Tennessee State was down by double digits, but making a little run. And they're only down by 7 points, so we'll keep you posted on that game. The winner of this game will move on to face Memphis in the second round of that game. But yeah, let's move on to some further March Madness topics here, Andre.
Yeah, like I said, so we got a lot of things going on in addition to, and I apologize about the play, you know, saying that too. It's just so used to saying that too. So, you know, it is what it is. As mentioned, these are real games. Boise State's playing LaSalle for the right, you know, to kind of jump in at number 13 seed. I don't know if you want to talk about that, Rob, or anything else that you want to focus on. In addition to, we've got our, what is it, LIU Brooklyn playing James Madison. So we got a lot of interesting matchups as well, too. So
yeah,
it's going
to
be
much. You know, not too interested in the LIU Brooklyn James Madison game, but LaSalle is a quiet team that you might want to pay attention to that possibly can pull off an upset or two that could be interesting. Even Boise State's a pretty good team. So that tomorrow, those games are tomorrow night. So like I said, I'm not too interested in the LIU Brooklyn James Madison game. There's 2 16 seeds. I don't think they're gonna go far. But watch the winner of LaSalle, Boise State. There's those two teams that could pull off an upset. I don't think You know, VCU is the only team that's going really far that had to play in these first round games a few years ago when Shaka Smart just took his team, you know, all the way to the Final Four from these first round games, which was an amazing run a few years back. And I'm not sure if we have that kind of team this year, but if it does, it'll be the winner of that LaSalle Boise State game tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure. Let's talk about some of our Final Four and our national championship predictions, and I'm going to be a gentleman and kind of leave it in your hands first, Rob. So who do you have as far as your Final Four in addition to your national championship predictions?
Coming out of the East, I have the Miami Hurricanes moving all the way down to the Final Four. What a surprise. This team's come out of nowhere to win the ACC regular season and to win the ACC tournament. Gotten a little bit of a slump at the end of the regular season, but kind of found a groove a little bit again here in the ACC tourney. I like them to move on out of the East. Out West, I got a little bit of a sleeper for some people. New Mexico, this team plays great defense. Steve Alford is a heck of a coach. You know, I'm not even sure they have an NBA player on this roster, but they're a very good team. They're the 3 seed out of the West. I like New Mexico to come out of that region. Out of the Midwest, I like Louisville. I think Louisville is playing the best ball of any team in the country right now. They're the number one overall seed in the tournament. Won the Big East, which is probably the toughest basketball conference as of now. I mean, we're going to have a new Big East next year, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. And out of the South, this was a really tough one here. I really like this Kansas-Georgetown final in the South Regional. Kansas might have the best overall player in college basketball, Ben McLemore. But Otto Porter from Georgetown might be a close second. I would love to see this matchup in the East Regional final, Kansas against Georgetown, to see those two players. These two guys could be 1-2 in the NBA draft. Ben McLemore, Otto Porter from Georgetown. But I'm going to go with Georgetown out of the South. So, once again, I have Georgetown, Louisville, New Mexico, and the Miami Hurricanes. I have Louisville defeating the Miami Hurricanes for the national championship.
Wow, that's not a bad brackets there right there. I like where your head's at, man. That's pretty interesting. And I'm interesting how you actually play this out. I'm actually going to go in a different direction. Out of the East, I got to represent my home state, the state I was born in. That's the state of Indiana. So I got to keep it going. I think they've been battle tested. I know they've been kind of going up and down, but I like where they've been playing, and I like Indiana to come out of the East. It's going to be interesting, that particular bracket. Out of the West, I actually like Ohio State. And this is going to answer our question later if we've got two Big Ten schools that can make it to the final four. So I actually like that as far as that. And that's going to answer your question. Midwest, I agree with you on Louisville. Louisville's been playing kind of tough. It's going to be a great matchup to see them versus Michigan State, man. I think that's going to be a great, great game. And whoever kind of pulls it out, I think they may set the stage as far as moving.
You have Michigan State over Duke in the Sweet 16 round, huh?
I do. You know, I got Florida Gulf. No, I'm just joking. Coming out of South, this is probably one of the toughest ones to pick. You know, kind of similar with you. I kind of struggle between Michigan, Georgetown, and Kansas. You know, I'm sorry, I got like a lot of Kansas folks here. I know they're playing well. Sometimes they just haven't been able to put it all together. I actually like Michigan. I like how they've been kind of battle-tested as well. So, you know, that's what I have coming out of that.
Okay.
Actually, I have
– You have three Big Ten teams.
I got three Big Ten teams. So I've got Indiana over Ohio State. I've got Louisville over Michigan. And then I have actually have Indiana beating Louisville for the national championship. So I'm going to pick – with
America, that's a homer pick right there. He's picking his home state. He's picking with his heart, not his mind.
You know what, Rob? You know, I don't like where you're coming from. No. You know, that's what it is. So, like I said, they've been holding down the fort, man. So, like I said, I think they've been battle tested. And I know it's kind of it is a homer pick, but in all actuality, Rob, too, and you know how it plays out, man. Any team can get beat in this particular tournament, man. So
absolutely.
Just stuck predicting, man. We're having a good time with it, man. It would be great to see, you know, number 5 seed coming in, doing their thing, you know, even a number two. I mean, it doesn't really matter. I think it's just kind of fun, obviously, and we're looking forward to the games. Like I said, if you have anything that you think can come up, let us know. You know, definitely tweet us. Give us your shots on Facebook, man, so we'll keep that going for sure. And, yeah, so you think I'm crazy, Rob, or you think it's kind of fun over here?
Well, no, I mean, for most of the year, I've been picking Indiana to win a national championship, so that's not very far-fetched at all. I mean, you look at their team, they probably have two top 10 picks, Victor Oladipo and Cody Zeller. I mean, you probably have two top 10 picks in the NBA draft. So at any moment, I just think they've been a little heckle and jive. They are Jekyll and Hyde, I guess I should say, at the end of the year there. So it causes for a little bit of concern. But Indiana would not surprise me at all. I think the out of the teams you mentioned, I think the most surprising to me would be Michigan because, I mean, they've had some pretty bad losses here this season as well. And it kind of, even though they have the personnel, Trey Burke might be one of the better point guards in the country. You have Glenn Robinson III and Tim Hardaway Jr. on that team. But I just think they've just had some really bad losses. And I know Dick Vitale is also picking them to go to the Final Four, but that one might be the most far-fetched in my opinion. But the other three picks, Louisville, Ohio State, Indiana, definitely I think could very well make a run in this tournament.
It's tough, too, because like I said, I mean, I kind of felt Georgetown was going to do some things. I could have also lobbied hard for Kansas. I mean, this would be the year to kind of – maybe I should kind of pick Kansas. You know, BCU is kind of, like I said, playing well, too. So, you know, this
instance – if I'm Michigan, I'll be concerned about VCU in that second round.
That's going to be a tough game, too. So, you know, yeah, I agree with you on that one. So, you know, because Shaka Smart always seems to have his guys always ready to play, too. You know, I don't know if they're the same. It's kind of like similar to Gonzaga. I mean, there's certain schools, they've had this reputation of being giant killers, and you know, teams are kind of prepared for them now, i.e., you know, the George Mason syndrome. But, you know, like you said, any team can actually come play well. They can get on a hot streak. And, you know, that's why it's kind of the nice parody of the NCAA tournament for sure. But that was a tough bracket to pick for sure. I definitely say
absolutely.
That, too.
And we all, these games are always so hard to predict. I mean, you have to realize that in this type of tournament, you're talking about one game upset. It doesn't necessarily, you're going to see teams that you would never thought that would have a chance to win. You know, if they were playing the best 4 out of 7, you know, these tournaments would be very easy to predict. But, you know, in the one game situation, any team can be upset, and that's what kind of make this tournament kind of fun.
Gotcha. Let's keep it going. So you got a quick note about Xavier. It's actually going to join Hoops Only in the Big East. And why do you think this is, Rob? Do you think there's a situation where they don't have the personnel, you think, for the football squad? Or are they trying to, like, kind of align themselves in a different way? Or why do you think they only joined the Big East in Hoops?
Well, number one, Xavier doesn't have a football program. And I know we didn't get a chance to kind of tap on this on last week's show, but, you know, the Big East is splitting up as we know it. And it's very unfortunate because, you know, I thought this year the Big East and the Big Ten, you could flip a coin. Both of those teams had the best basketball conferences in America this year. But the Catholic Seven, as they're calling them, these are the schools in the Big East that do not have a football program. They are leaving the Big East as we know it, but they're going to get to keep the Big East name. So the schools like Providence, Seton Hall, Georgetown, Villanova, and I'm missing three others, Marquette, DePaul, and there's another school that I can't think of at the top of my head. The Catholic Seven is leaving the Big East as we know it, and they're adding Xavier, they're adding Creighton, and they're adding Butler to make it a 10-team league. And these are going to be hoops-only teams. So this will be a hoops-only conference. And like I said, these are schools that do not have a football program that will still be Division I. But they are going to get to keep the Big East name, where the other, you know, the Big East as we know it is more than likely going to change their name to the America 12 Conference.
Gotcha. Catholic Seven, pretty much, Lou. We've got DePaul, Georgetown, Marquette, Providence, Seton Hall, St. John's, and Villanova. Those are the actual schools that make
St. John's, that was
Catholic.
The school I was missing. You're right.
Yep, and like I said, so yeah, like you said, it's interesting. And I guess that's my bad as far as not knowing as far as how the football part played out, too. But like you said, they're definitely going to, from what I was understanding, I didn't know if that was going to be something they were going to add in the future, but I guess they're going to keep it as is and just only be that basketball conference as well. So,
yeah.
Very, very interesting to see how that plays out for sure.
So, the Big East, as we know it, like I said, will become the, more than likely, will become the America 12. And so, schools like Connecticut, Cincinnati, those schools that still have a football program, they're going to be in that America 12. Memphis, Temple, Tulane is even moving to that conference as well, and as well as I believe South Florida will still be in there as well. So those are the schools that will kind of remain. Louisville, I believe, is going to be in that conference for one more year, and then they're going to move on to the ACC. And Notre Dame is moving on to the ACC next year, and so is Syracuse and Pittsburgh.
Yep, like I said, it's pretty exciting what's going on right now. So, you know, we'll keep it going, and we'll keep you guys in the loop as far as everything that's going on. Like I said, we're definitely going to see a lot of movement in the future, and we'll see how a lot of these conferences end up, you know, making splits and kind of align themselves based upon certain things, too. So I think it's good. I think it's a good move. I don't have really any complaints at this juncture, so we'll see how everything plays out. I'm going to throw out the numbers once again, Rob, for those who want to call into the show. The number to call it, it's 424-243-9519. You can hit us up via Twitter at 12th Man Sports, as well as on Facebook at facebook.com/12thSports as well. Let's talk about some interesting options as far as a pretty good team that's always gotten the moniker, Rob, as the Giant Killer in Gonzaga. And we don't have them making it to the national championship, so I guess I'll ask you, why don't you think that they're going to make it? They've got John Stockton's son is actually playing for Gonzaga, keeping that tradition going as well. You thought they'd have a couple different pieces, but why do you think that they got some challenges or they're going to fall short?
Well, you mentioned they have John Stockton's son, David Stockton, and
David Stockton, their best
prospect on their team is Kelly Olynyk, big seven-footer from Canada, about 240 pounds. He'll be a top 10, top 15 pick.
She's playing well, man. She's playing real well. Her and Brittany Griner are going to do some things in the NBA. I'm sorry. That was bad.
That's cool, Kelly. I don't know, man. That was Andre Peterson that made that comment. And but, yeah, he's their best player. But I think the concern with Gonzaga, in my opinion here, is their toughness. Even though they have some, you know, like I said, they have this center prospect, Kelly Olynyk. Seven-footer. I'm still a little worried about the toughness, and I still don't quite know if they're battle-tested. I know they have a 31-2 record. Their strength of schedule wasn't that great. You have to give them a lot of credit. But I'm going to go out on a limb here. I have Gonzaga losing in the second round. Well, let me get this right with the NCAA. Third round. The first round games are being played now. I have them losing in the third round to number 8 seed Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh is a great rebounding team. They rebound over 40 to 45% even of their missed offensive shots. So I think this is a team that will attack the glass. They'll be physical with Gonzaga. And I think they're going to pull off the upset in that number 1 versus number 8 seed. I have Pittsburgh upsetting Gonzaga in the third round.
Yeah, I could see that too. I mean, like you said, it's you know, I have to go back to experience. I know that's kind of a bad thing to say, but you know, I used to always live in Gonzaga. They were always famous for pulling out some crazy upsets. In this instance, I definitely agree. So they're going to have some challenges. That's why I like a team like an Indiana or teams from the Big Ten to go far because they've been battle-tested. It's kind of like back in the day whenever you had ACC schools and the ACC's having a kind of a down year. But, you know, you used to battle each other so much and it just kind of strengthened the whole conference and you kind of were going through that. So, you know, Gonzaga – we'll answer this next question, too. I think they may be the first number one seed to be eliminated, too. But, you know, like you said, it's not because of the heart's not there. Maybe this will help them moving forward in next year, and I think next year they have a great opportunity to get even better, too. So, you know, definitely seize the opportunity for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they play the games, and I know there's still a few people that like this Gonzaga team to make it to the Final Four. But we'll see, and I could definitely be wrong here, but I'm going out on a limb, and I think Pittsburgh will upset them, and I think Gonzaga will be the first number one seed to be eliminated.
Gotcha. Well, let's move on. Can two Big Ten teams make the Final Four? Obviously, I've answered that question saying yes.
You have three.
What about you?
I've got an emphatic yes.
Yeah, like I said, only because the battle tested because they were playing each other. I think that made them great. Like I said, there's no guarantee because, you know, a school, a team can get hot. They can get the Cinderella slipper going and definitely make a run. But I definitely think it could definitely happen.
I think it can definitely happen. I think Indiana's has an opportunity to make it to the Final Four, and Ohio State has an opportunity to make it. Two teams that you're predicting to go, and I think Michigan State even has an outside shot. Those are three teams from the Big Ten, in my opinion, have an opportunity. They have a chance to make it, but I'm going to say that none of them make it, but we'll wait and see how everything shakes out. As of right now, I'm going to say that there will be no Big Ten teams in the Final Four, which will be surprising. Like I said, I think all year the Big Ten and the Big East, from top to bottom, have been the best basketball conferences in America this year.
Who was your Final Four again, Rob? Do you still have it written down?
Yes, I have Louisville coming out of the Midwest, and I have Miami, Florida coming out of the East. I have New Mexico coming out of the West, and I have Georgetown out of the South. So that would give me two Big East teams in the Final Four, and that would give me a New Mexico team from the Mountain West and Miami from the ACC.
Okay. I was just curious as far as how you have that, because, you know, your bias is clearly showing, so that's okay. We'll see how it plays out, man. So, like you said, I know everyone's kind of sick of that, March Madness. This is our favorite
time. I didn't even pick my Tar Heels to go.
That's pretty surprising, too, but it's all good. Speaking of number one teams getting eliminated, and I don't know, this is kind of a side note, Rob. Man, Robert Morris actually knocked out Kentucky in the NIT, and I guess you got to give the NCAA people credit, because I'm sure whenever you're first thinking about schools that got snubbed, I mean, Kentucky could have been one of those squads, and he apparently got it right because they got upset by Robert Morris. I don't know if you want to comment on that as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the biggest sports news story of the night tonight here. I mean, it's really taken away from these two first four games of the NCAA tournament. And, but I think Robert Morris beating Kentucky, Robert Morris, who got an opportunity to play the game at home and pulled off a major upset. And like I said, that game, the NIT game, has overshadowed the two NCAA games tonight. And congrats to Robert Morris. This was a team that that dominated the Northeast Conference all year long, Robert Morris, and they got upset in a tournament and didn't get an opportunity to go to the NCAA tournament because of that upset.
Wow. Like I said, I agree with you. Congrats to them. And sometimes that just happens. You just kind of have a bad game and whatnot and run into a different opponent. So that definitely affects everything that's going on, too. So we're moving right along. So that's it for the NCAA. Let's kind of make tracks and kind of switch gears and move on to the NBA. And, the Miami Heat are on a roll, Rob. Man, I'm going to kind of segue into what was Jason Carey thinking. I guess he was trying to, do the right thing and guard three guys, but he didn't make the right decision, man, at all, sir.
Yeah, that was one of those plays where Jason Terry should just move out of the way and let him have his points. And, you don't want to be on that kind of poster. And I know Twitter lit up on that dunk. Facebook lit up on that dunk. It was amazing last night, and it was incredible. But, yeah, the Miami Heat are on a special run right now, 23 games in a row. This is the second longest winning streak in NBA history. And, your hat's off to them. That's definitely an amazing run. And I guess the big question is, can they tie the Lakers 71-72 team of that 33-game winning streak? Or can they surpass it? Not only can they tie, can they surpass it?
Man, you know what's pretty interesting, Rob? I'm going to actually talk about, before I answer that question too, I'm going to actually tell you what Jason Terry was thinking, okay? Terry was thinking that he was, he wanted to actually get some more publicity, man. He was, he's kind of one of those players where, he didn't really know what's been going on. So he's like, maybe it's time for me to actually get some more publicity. So, that's kind of what I think he decided to go with. And that he said like a little boost or something like that. So, That's what I thought. That's kind of what I figured he was gonna do, man. So yeah,
okay.
There you go. Let's talk. I mean, like
yeah.
you said, before we talk about I'm gonna look at their schedule coming up too for the Heat. But you know, real quick, man, are you impressed with Jeff Green as well? You talked about somebody that kind of in spite of the loss, he played extremely well, man. So I was impressed with that, you know. What did he end up? I think he scored like 42 points or something crazy like that, man. You talk about
yeah.
an amazing
43 last night.
For him. Yeah, 43, something crazy. So I guess that they have some options, man. There's a couple if you look at the schedule for the Heat. They obviously play in Cleveland, Detroit, Charlotte, Orlando, Chicago. There's a couple of tough games that they actually – and we thought this was going to be their toughest game right now, that Boston was going to be able to beat them, but they actually pulled it out. San Antonio, that's the game, Rob, that you want to circle on March the 31st. I think that's going to be another
yeah.
opportunity for them to kind of get beat. I think they can pull out these games, but you got to think of the San Antonio game in addition to possibly the the Boston again. So it's going to be tough, man. But that's the game that I think we're going to next target for the Heat. What do you think?
Yeah, I would have to say going to San Antonio looks like the team that probably will have the best chance to knock them off. So that will be interesting to see that. But, looking at it, I'm going to say they're going to come off just short of that 33-game
yeah.
winning streak. So I'm going to, make that prediction. It's still an amazing run. But I tell you that, this Miami Heat winning streak right now is definitely must-see TV right now. This could, they have a chance to break one of the longest streaks, in sports history right now. So it definitely is must-see TV at the moment.
Gotcha. We're kind of wrapping up the show. We got about 3 minutes left. I want to talk about what's going on with Kobe, if he's going to recover in time for the Lakers, and, it may be a little challenging. But I guess I got a question for you, too, and it looks like it looks like the Lakers got rid of an interesting problem in Andrew Bynum, man. You talk about somebody that just got, he's been injured all year. Now it looks like he's out for the season for the Sixers. I mean, once knees go bad and you're a big man, you're almost like going down the road of Greg Oden. So I'm going to let you talk about that, Rob, as we get ready to we got about 2 minutes and 35 seconds left in the show. I'm going to comment on that as we get ready to set to the OT portion as well.
Number one, the Kobe situation is, he's still day-to-day with this ankle, and I still think the Lakers will be in the playoffs. They probably won't move any higher than the 8th seed, though, so I think they will make it. And depending on what matchup they get, they could make some noise. I don't think the Lakers match up well with the OKC or the Denver Nuggets, so I think the Lakers would not want to see either one of those teams. But I think they could possibly hang with the Spurs. We don't know with Tony Parker's health situation is going to be. And so that could be, a real interesting series if it holds to be the Spurs versus the Lakers at that 1-8. And getting to Andrew Bynum here real quickly, what a disaster trade for the 76ers. I mean, you trade Andre Iguodala and you get nothing in return with Bynum.
Yeah.
I mean, the Sixers are a team that made it to the second round in NBA playoffs last year. And you make this trade for Bynum thinking this could help you get the next step. And I would think that the Sixers should not re-sign him this summer. I think you should just move on and cut your losses and try to rebuild your organization. I think it would be too risky to make a sign deal for him, a deal to sign him right now. But anyway, people, we're going to be moving on to our OT portion here shortly. So if you guys would like to listen in, we're going to be talking more NBA and more NFL in our OT portion. So you can listen to that tomorrow, anytime, at your desk. Click on the same link, and you can hear our free agency and draft coverage for the NFL. And once again, you guys can follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook, 12 Man Sports, Talking Sports with 12 Man on Facebook, and at 12 Man Sports on Twitter. So once again, join us for the OT portion, and join us next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, and 5 a.m. Wednesday morning for our friends in Germany.
Yes, sir. That's what we do. So don't forget to like us on Facebook. Don't forget to tweet us as well, all that fun stuff. As Rob mentioned, we're going to keep going with the OT portion.
And this is your final four picks.
Yeah, so there's Final Four picks as well. Yeah, we'd love to see those as well. And we're going to focus on the NFL coming in. But please, please post your stuff on Facebook for Final Four predictions. And we're looking forward to showing some love. And, Rob, hopefully you'll put some stuff about brackets on there if folks want to join as well, too. So, anyway, here we go.
Absolutely.
OT. Yep. We are officially into the OT portion of the show. And, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about basketball, which, of course, is kind of the focus, which is going on right now during March, and everyone's excited. But we want to switch gears a little bit. Let's kind of talk some football talk. Football is king, obviously, sometimes in my world. But there's been some interesting moves as far as quarterbacks, Rob. And as we speak, we just found out that the Colts have actually signed Matt Hasselbeck to back up Andrew Luck. In addition to, I'm sure, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I saw where he actually got picked up by Tennessee. So you got some veteran quarterbacks that kind of were started. It looks like a little spot for Tennessee. And I'm going to talk about this as far as the Colts. I mean, do you think that this is kind of a grooming move for the Colts, or do you think that Matt Hasselbeck still has something in the tank to actually play, Rob?
Oh, I think Matt Hasselbeck can definitely help you to win a game or two in a pinch right now, even at this stage of his career. I think this is a great move for the Indianapolis coach, bringing a veteran quarterback that can kind of help Andrew Luck, to help him to take that next step. And I think this is a great move for the Colts. And, you know, this is a really good move to help him and be another coach, be another set of eyes to help him know what he sees on the field. So I think it's a great move. And I even think, you know, from the Titans standpoint, it's a little bit confusing. You know, you cut Hasselbeck, but you bring in Fitzpatrick. You know, why not just keep Hasselbeck? And so it's a little, unless Fitzpatrick just came at a better price, you're able to get some kind of cap savings. But it's like you're able to keep a veteran already to help out Jake Locker there in Tennessee. And so in my opinion, I would have just kept Hasselbeck, but I'm not sure what the financial terms of those deals were in that situation.
I actually think the reason why they went with Ryan Fitzpatrick is the fact that I think he's a little bit younger, obviously, than Hasselbeck. And if anything ever happened, I'm sure, you know, Hasselbeck can win you some games too. But just in case that Jake Locker struggles, I'm sure they can go to, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's actually started. You know, I'm not saying he's the best thing since sliced bread, but he actually has played pretty decent in Buffalo. You know, I think, you know, Doug Marone is going to actually switch up his offense. So, you know, maybe Fitzgerald didn't, or Fitzpatrick didn't fit that. So maybe he'll have more of a natural fit in Tennessee. And I'm not sure. I got to look at the coordinators to figure out if they have any history as far as that too. So, you know, anyway, that's what's going on in that entrance. And I guess you want to highlight any other free agent moves that's been going on? Go ahead.
Matter of fact, we'll even start with your Atlanta Falcons. I'll be kind here. I think it was a great move as far as adding Steven Jackson to the fold there. And, you know, I know some Falcon fans are still wondering when they're going to add some defensive pieces, but I think this does add a piece to the offense, and I think it's a slight upgrade for Michael Turner. And I think the upgrade for the Falcons here is that I think what Steven Jackson gives you that Michael Turner couldn't give you is that pass catcher out of the backfield. And even though Jackson is a big back, he's got great hands. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. And he's a good blocker back there, too. And
yeah.
So I think overall, you know, I think this is a solid upgrade at the running back position for the Atlanta Falcons.
You know what? I actually appreciate you showing us some love, Rob. I'm going to take that and run with it, too. It's pretty interesting because, you know, the mood in Atlanta is kind of mixed, man, because, you know, obviously having an older running back or a running back that's in his 30s, you know, you start thinking that they're on the decline. So, you know, some people are thinking, well, you just replaced an older back with another older back. But, you know, as mentioned, I think definitely that's a great upgrade. Steven Jackson, I think he's kind of hungry. He's been kind of languishing in St. Louis. Never been on a winning team, so I think it will definitely rejuvenate him. And you made some great points as the fact that he's got great hands. You know, obviously, coming out of the backfield, that's going to be an advantage in addition to the play action. You know, I think it's a great, great move because now you got to worry about, you know, if you try to, you know, crowd the box, you got to go up top to Julio, or you got to go up top to Roddy White. You still got Tony Gonzalez, so I think it's a great move. Now, the flip side, yes, and everyone's beat this like a dead horse. You know, we have to get better defensively. But I think adding some younger players, you know, there wasn't really, you know, you got an older John Abraham. He wasn't really making that much of an impact. I'd love to have him back, but, you know, maybe situational. But you have nothing to get younger faster. And I think that's kind of the route we're going to go. So we're going to be very we may copy the example of the Saints. Of the New Orleans Saints being very opportunistic, kind of creating some turnovers, and hopefully we'll get better on the defensive side. So thank you for letting me have my little rant there.
very good. And let's move on to a few other teams we want to highlight with some of their free agent moves here. Let's talk about the Baltimore Ravens here a little bit. And, I mean, it looked like the only major move they've made is they've added Chris Canty to the defensive line from the New York Giants, which I think is, you know, is a solid, you know, quietly is a very solid pickup. And Ed Reed here has a 3-year, $12 million deal on the table from the Houston Texans. He's waiting to see what the Ravens are going to come back with. And where do you think he's going to land? You think he's Houston bound or he returns to Baltimore?
Definitely Houston bound at this juncture. They have more upside. It looks like the Baltimore Ravens are the Miami Marlins of the NFL, man, because they've won the championship and now it's like a fire sale. I think he's definitely going to go over and add his experience to a Houston team that's still there a couple players away. I think they definitely need another wide receiver across from Andre Johnson, maybe another tight end. But that defense is a top defense. You add, Ed Reed, that's a scary team already. I do want to highlight one more thing, Rob, if I can, and that the St. Louis Rams finally locked up Jake Long. That's a big, big move for them. I think he got, a $36 million deal. I got to look at the exact numbers as far as that. But you talk about they finally solidified a problem that they had. They've been trying to draft a left tackle, Rob, for the past couple of years. They finally get their guy to come in and kind of solidify that position. I think it allows them now to focus in and maybe getting some more weapons for Sam Bradford, excuse me, maybe some wideouts, and then maybe adding another running back, since Steven Jackson's not coming back. But that's a great pickup, too. So I don't know if you want to talk about that or your thoughts as far as that as well.
Yeah, I think that's definitely addressed the need there for the Rams. They've been having offensive line issues for years. And I think even with the loss of Steven Jackson, this is a team I think is on the verge to being a very competitive team. I mean, right now they have two first-round picks, and I have them taking Sheldon Richardson, defensive tackle from Missouri, and then I have them getting Tavon Austin, wide receiver from West Virginia, that can give them a playmaker on the edge. And then in the second round, I have them getting Eddie Lacy, running back from Alabama. I mean, you look at, Eddie Lacy, I don't think that's going to be too much of a drop-off for them. Going to Steven Jackson or Lacy to get a younger back. And we know the running backs that can come in this league and be really competitive. It doesn't matter where they're picked. You can find guys that can come in and play at that position. And so it's, I think, even with the loss of Jackson, this is a team on the verge of making a run here. And I want to, a few other teams I like to kind of comment on too real quickly in the free agent business here. Detroit Lions, Reggie Bush. I think this is a team offensively could get very scary as well. And with Kelvin Johnson, Matthew Stafford, you have the tight end there. I'm drawing a blank on his name here. For the Oklahoma State guy. It's a tight end there. But you had Reggie Bush and Kelvin Johnson, Matthew Stafford.
Daniels?
Not Daniels.
Okay, I'll look it up as you keep going. Keep going. I'll look
yes,
it up
it's
as well.
Yes, not Gresham. I know he's in Cincinnati, but I'm drawing a blank on the tight end, first-round pick for the Detroit Lions and there. But this is, adding Reggie Bush to that offense, I think also gives you some versatility of having a guy to come out of the backfield. And he's proven the last couple of years he's a little bit better in running the ball between the tackles. So I think offensively this is a team that could get a little scary, too. And they re-signed Chris Houston, one of their own cornerbacks. And so I think this is a team that may be a little bit close. On paper, it looks to be a little bit closer to where they were 2 years ago. I know they lost Cliff Averill, who left to go to Seattle. So they're still going to have some holes on defense that they're going to have to fix as well.
It wasn't Brandon Pettigrew, was it, that you were thinking of?
Brandon Pettigrew, that's exactly what I'm thinking of.
Gotcha, cool,
yeah.
Gotcha.
But yeah, they have some weapons now on offense that I think that, you know, offensively they're going to be a scary team as well.
Minnesota Vikings get Matt Castle. And what do you think about, do you think Matt Flynn is going to get some type of interest on the market in addition to what's going to happen? And we're talking quarterbacks, Rob, but I know we got about 5 minutes, so I do want to make a note about the Raiders because, you know, Carson Palmer, his game has definitely dropped. So, you know, do you think they're going to be in the market for maybe a Matt Flynn and or are they going to go to the draft? So I'll let you answer that question too. So that will sign
well, it's going to be interesting. I think Seattle would trade Matt Flynn for the right price. But they're not really into Seattle, like, as you know, I made this comment before, you know, their quarterback, they don't have a quarterback that's eating up their cap, so they can afford to keep Matt Flynn and Russell Wilson. I think they only trade Matt Flynn for the right offer, and I still think Flynn is capable of being a starter in this league. I'm sure he can help someone. Oakland, don't be surprised if they draft pull a shocker and draft a Geno Smith at that number 3 pick. Right now, right now, I have them waiting to the 3rd round and grab Mike Glennon and keep Carson Palmer. Right now, I have them drafting Mike Glennon, NC State quarterback. I have Oakland drafting him in the 3rd round of the draft. And let's talk about the Indianapolis Colts a little bit. They go out and get LeVon Landry in the secondary. They go out and get Ricky Jean-Francois from San Francisco. And so this is another team that is really trying to build up their – this is another team that had a poor defense, even though they made the playoffs. And those are some nice additions right there. LeVon Landry was a Pro Bowler last year. Ricky Jean-Francois wasn't a starter for San Fran, but he was definitely a major contributor. He can go to Indy and be a starter in that 3-4 defense.
Great, great moves, man. You are keeping it going for sure. Man, you know, just don't be like, you know, somebody, you know, that, you know, didn't get their contract secured. Next thing you got to fire somebody, man. What's up with that, man? How are you gonna be like, yeah, I got you, then get released, man? What's up with that in Elvis Dunnerville and stuff like
that? Well,
that's
very surprising, but Denver has come back and made an offer to him, and I think some kind of way, something's going to be worked out where he returns to the Denver Broncos here. And I tell you, another team that's been real active in free agency is Kansas City Chiefs. I know we talked a little bit about them last week, but I know they've even added Dante Robinson, former Falcon there, you know, to the secondary and franchise Brandon Albert. So they are definitely another team that's made a few moves. You look at the New England Patriots. They've been getting in some guys as well, and Adrian Wilson, safety from Arizona. And even look at my New Orleans Saints here. They added Keenan Lewis, cornerback Pittsburgh, to help the secondary out. And tight end Benjamin Watson. I thought that was quietly a very solid move to give Drew Brees another weapon along with Jimmy Graham at the tight end position. So there's a lot of moving and shaking going on around the NFL when it comes to free agency businesses there here. So, I don't know if there's any more free agent highlights you want to jump on here, but I know there's a lot of activity that's still taking place.
Gotcha. We got about 2 minutes, Rob. I don't know if you want to focus next week on your mock draft highlights or you want to kind of set the stage for that. And I do want to set it up, too. Maybe we'll start, as the draft gets closer, we'll start highlighting each position, like quarterback group, defensive lineman, defensive end, you know, whatever. I think it's a good option as we start moving forward towards
absolutely.
The draft as well. Yeah,
that'd be great. But yeah, next week, folks, you know, join us 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 a.m. for our friends in Germany. As Andre just mentioned, we're going to talk a little bit more about some NFL draft, NFL free agency. Of course, we're in the middle of March Madness, so next week we'll be talking about the Sweet 16 on our show. We'll be down to Sweet 16 this time next week, so we'll be covering that as well. And we'll dibble and dab on a little bit of NBA, what's happening in the association as well. So any closing remarks, Dr. Dre?
Hey, man, what a great show, Rob. I appreciate you taking the time. And as you mentioned, get those brackets in, your final four predictions. We're going to love you guys, and we'll definitely highlight that and show you some love for our next show.
Good night, people. Join us next week. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook.
There it is. There it is. I want to show some love, Rob, to you as well, man. Appreciate that, guys. And have a great, safe week as we get ready to sign off on another great episode of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We are officially signing off. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
@12thManSports on Twitter. Talking Sports with the 12th Man.